orange juice in your cereal.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. You know it's a bad day when you confuse the milk and the OJ. Or when you pay the government to hold your money. That's what a lot of investors are doing. The interest rate on some Treasury bills has fallen below zero. People are so afraid of stocks, they're just saying, here, take my money, keep it safe, I'll pay you. It's pretty extraordinary. But maybe things will turn around today. In Asia, the stock markets had strong gains. Japan's Nikkei closed 3% higher. Hong Kong was up 5%. European shares are tepid so far. The Dow is at 86.91. It fell 242 points yesterday, almost 3%. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 had smaller losses. Votes are expected today on the carmaker rescue. $15 billion in loans. But then what? We're joined by Professor David Bailey. He's director of the Birmingham Business School in England. David, what can this $15 billion actually accomplish?
In an economic sense, it buys a little bit of time in the sense that we're clearly in unprecedented circumstances given the rate at which car sales are falling in the US and indeed the UK. So it buys time until the Obama presidency is in place. I think at that point there will need to be a much deeper examination of what strategies the car makers are adopting in the United States given the severity of the problems that they face.
What do you think would be an effective strategy for Detroit's car makers at this point?
Well, some people have talked about whether a kind of Chapter 11 arrangement would be suitable. I think that wouldn't work in the auto industry because it would undermine confidence in the brand. But something akin to a Chapter 11, whereby the government supports the industry in restructuring much more fundamentally. And basically, they're going to have to downsize quite dramatically, produce fewer cars, shift operations towards autos, which are much more fuel efficient. They're hybrid models, a much more slimmed down dealership network, and basically cut costs in order to be able to compete with the Japanese rivals.
And what about the labor unions? How would they fit in this equation?
Well, getting them on side is going to be crucial because clearly they're a key stakeholder in all of this. They've been making some positive noises about being willing to make some sacrifices, although it's not clear yet how far that will go. But a fundamental problem here has been that the automakers have had their heads in the sand for too long about climate change and the types of changes that they need to make. It was interesting that I think Bob Lutz was saying, you know, this isn't our fault. We couldn't have predicted the severity of the downturn. That's true, but equally, they've been ignoring the kind of realities of the types of autos that they need to produce.
Professor David Bailey at the Birmingham Business School. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We talk a lot about oil prices on this program, but not as much about that liquid you drink every morning. Coffee is the world's second most traded commodity, and it's getting more expensive. Here's Stacey Vanek Smith.
When the price of oil spiked, so did the price of fertilizer. Coffee farmers couldn't afford as much for their crops, and now the world might be facing a coffee shortage. Brazil produces about a third of the world's coffee, and growers there say their crops will be about 20% smaller next year. That news has already jacked up prices. Lovell Jarvis is an agriculture economist at UC Davis.
In this type of market, one would expect the prices would be passed on fairly quickly to the consumer.
The global coffee market is worth more than $40 billion and is expected to balloon to about $60 billion by 2012. Still, Jarvis says coffee fiends could get a break.
Consumption has been declining a little bit because of the economic recession. It doesn't take but a relatively small decrease in consumption to drive that price down.
Still, the International Coffee Organization predicts demand for coffee will outstrip supply by about 6% next year. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org, and by Gather.com. If it's happening in the world, it's being discussed on Gather. People are talking about the economy at Gather.com.
Barack Obama says he wants to stimulate the economy with government spending, a huge public works program. It might be necessary. But as always, with government projects like this, you have to be careful of special interests. Commentator Robert Reich has a few suggestions.
No economy can function without enough pull from the demand side. But consumers have stopped buying. Businesses won't invest in plant and equipment without buyers at the other end, and exports are dead in the water because the world is in recession. That leaves government as buyer of last resort, which is why Congress and the upcoming Obama administration are planning a large stimulus package to be signed almost as soon as the new president is sworn in, a little less than 6 weeks from now. Getting it enacted won't be difficult. Even deficit hawks know that when millions of people are unemployed, offices vacant, and factories shuttered, deficit spending that gets the economy growing again will make future deficits smaller. The real political challenge will be to avoid pork barrel projects and corporate welfare. Yet Washington lobbyists and trade associations are already salivating. What can be done to keep them at bay? Follow three simple rules. First, the stimulus package should be transparent. Unlike the opaque Treasury bailout of Wall Street, spending priorities should be posted on the Internet along with reasons why they are priorities. All contracts should be subject to competitive bidding, with the final winning and losing bids also clearly posted. Second, and also by contrast to the Wall Street bailout, lobbyists should be barred from receiving any benefits at all from the stimulus package. The rule should be that no stimulus money may go to any company that has paid a lobbyist to seek any portion of the stimulus package on its behalf. Finally, the stimulus package may not contain earmarks or special allocations of money to any state or locale. The only valid reason for state or local governments getting stimulus funds should be to remedy their budget shortfalls and thereby restore public services. This means no amendments to the stimulus bill. Make it a straight up or down vote. These three rules won't guarantee the stimulus package is free from pork and corporate welfare, but they'll vastly improve the odds.
Robert Reich teaches at the University of California, Berkeley. His latest book is called Super Capitalism. Share your thoughts with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.